Elizabeth Barrett is a wife, mother, grandmother, licensed marriage and family therapist, educator, eavesdropper, and emotion worker. She uses all of these skills to address the subjects that we all grapple with in this conversation with a reluctant therapist. Happy Tuesday, Elizabeth.
Hey, before we jump in today, I think you have an update that a lot of people probably will want to hear about the fire in Santa Barbara. Why don't we start with that?
Okay. It's the Cave Fire. It has burned just under 4,300 acres. It is 0% contained so far. Highway 154 is still closed between Santa Barbara and State Route 246. And the evacuations, if you want to learn more about, you know, which areas are evacuating or have an evacuation warning, you can check a website, readysbc.org. And we will be keeping you updated on the air and on our website, kcbx.org.
And I'm glad you have that update, because I don't think there's been any loss of homes yet, or...
No, that's good. No homes lost. No injuries reported so far.
So although it's 0% contained, we are still moving in the right direction.
Yes, and we're hoping that weather will help us here soon, bringing in some cooler air and maybe some rain.
Being our friend all the way around. Mm-hmm. Well, and it's also right in keeping with today's show, because we're going to talk about gratitude. We're going to get our way around the corner to gratitude. But one of the things I think we all are grateful for are the men and women who put themselves on the line to fight fires in these longer and longer seasons, fire seasons that go on and on. And so I wish them a speedy and rapid end to the fire so they can be home with their families throughout the week, or for the rest of the week at least. So today's show is a little bit in response from last week's show, which is something I don't generally do. I don't generally weave two shows back to back, but there's such an interesting response afterward that I thought it kind of warranted moving forward. Last week, we talked about tips for how to navigate family gatherings over the holidays, and I talked about different traditions and having a game plan set up, and you know how to be prepared instead of just feeling like you get there and you're ambushed. And if you're interested in that show, if you didn't get a chance to hear it, it is up on our podcast site. It's through kcbx.org. Just look for a conversation with a reluctant therapist, and it's the last show. Or if you podcast the show through Apple Podcasts or NPR Podcasts, you can search a conversation with a reluctant therapist and hit subscribe, and the show will be there. So after the show, one of the things that came up, a couple things. One was, what was the flowers that you talked about that draw negative energy out of the room? And they were sunflowers and roses. And sunflowers keep well this time of the year. So please don't buy them all, because I haven't purchased mine yet. But sunflowers, having a big bouquet or a bunch of them around different parts of the house, it kind of draws negative energy to it. The other question was, what was the traditions that I talked about my family? And I think a lot of families do the same thing of going around the table and talking about things that we're thankful for. Everyone has to get up and kind of talk a bit about what they're thankful for in this moment or for this year. And one of the emails was, well, it's hard for me to talk about things I'm thankful for, because I have so much resentment and anger towards some people in my family. And how do I then do that? And I sat on that email. I thought, that's interesting, because you would think that gratitude or feelings of thankfulness are something that lives separate from that experience of feeling anger or resentment, that if we're grateful for something, that just kind of exists on its own. But in reality, it doesn't. And the more I thought about it, I realized that there needs to be some work done to clear anger, resentment, envy, jealousy, disappointment, things that we harbor. We have to clear them out to make space for new experiences, because we can talk about things we're grateful for till we're blue in the face. But if we're maxed out inside, if our psyche has no space for new information, then the grateful feelings kind of come in and they bounce back out, you know, because we're already filled to the brim with these feelings of loss or disappointment or hurt that we're really hanging on to. And so I was in class this week, and I thought I would do kind of a little experiment with my students, and I did the thankful for exercise with them. I said, let's talk about something, and I kind of expanded. I said, let's talk about something you're proud of and something you're thankful for. And it was pretty unanimous around the room that students were able to come up with something they were thankful for quite quickly, you know, usually my parents or, you know, being able to go to school here. But when it was something that they were good at, something they were proud of, more than half of them, almost three quarters, said, can I pass? Or can I just think about that? That they weren't, it wasn't as easy for them to access good feelings about themselves and something that they felt good about as it was something they were simply grateful for. And so at the end, I said, I'm curious to know what held you back from talking about that thing, you know, that you're proud of. And a lot of the students said, well, and I started to say to myself, this is what I'm proud of. I could hear this other voice telling me the reasons why I shouldn't be proud. And so as soon as I started to talk about something that was good about me, it was almost like a louder voice said, you shouldn't feel that way, or that's not really, you know, who you are. And so we talked quite a bit in class about kind of that tendency we have to focus on and hear the negative voices or pay attention to the negative energy in our life, that for some reason it's easier to sit in that space than it is to sit in this space of positivity and gratitude and being thankful, where healing comes. And that is the forever dilemma of clinicians. It's why therapists have practices and will have them forever, because it is inherent in the human experience to get caught up in the negative self-talk or hang on to old stories about who we are or things that have happened to us in the past. And those old stories and old experiences, again, as I started off saying, take up precious space in our psyche, in our heart. You know, we think that we have this unlimited capacity. And it's true, our heart has unlimited capacity for love, but we have a limited capacity of what we can really keep juggling inside of our minds or in our lives. And so when we are busy trying to nurture or juggle or pay attention to or remind ourselves of things that we're angry about or things that hurt us or, you know, ways that we've been wronged, if we're spending a lot of our psychic energy thinking about and massaging those experiences, there isn't a lot of extra space for the good. So I don't know if we came to any great conclusions or healing in class with the students, but some of the students were able to identify old stories, you know, the voice of old stories that weren't really true anymore, and move them aside and talk about something they were proud of and really feel that. And to have the witnesses of the rest of the students there who, at this time in the quarter, we've all gotten pretty close in that class, to feel that kind of love and support from the rest of the students that weren't judgmental, that really were able to smile and nod and say, yeah, that's great that you feel that way, added another layer to what I want to talk about today, which is that tradition of talking about what we're thankful for in my family is powerful because it's witnessed by 20 other people that love you and support you and want good things for you. And so to say it out loud and have the witnesses in the room, it makes it all the more powerful. So that's the first part of the story. So as always, I'm grappling with the show ideas, and what we're going to do is I'm swimming this morning. So I'm in the pool doing my laps, and my friend Dennis, who is the Yoda of the pool, he has this very warm kind of soulful way about him. And as we are kicking down the lane, I just turned and said, Dennis, I want to ask you about forgiveness and your thoughts about it, because I want to talk about it on the show today, how forgiveness and gratitude intertwine. But I'm kind of caught up with this part of forgiveness, which is if we let go of forgiveness, if I let go of the anger that I feel towards someone or the resentment for some way that I feel that I was wronged, if I let that go, am I not just letting the other person off the hook? Or am I just kind of weak? Or am I just, you know, not standing up for myself? And instead of responding with some sort of advice, Dennis told me K-O-A-N, a Buddhist story. And it was simply this, that there were an old monk and a young monk were walking, Buddhist monk were walking along a road, and they came to this shallow pond, and there was a young woman trying to cross the pond, and she couldn't. And so the old monk lifted her and carried her across the pond and set her down, and he and the young monk continued on their way. And the young monk, a mile down the road, turned and said, "How could you have done that? You picked up that woman and carried her. You broke your vows of touching a woman. That you can't do that. This is going to haunt you." And the old monk turned around and said, "You are the one still carrying the young woman." And I went, "Oh, I get that. That by just doing what he needed to do and putting her down and carrying on in his life, he was able to just move forward. And that the young monk was not able to move forward because he was still caught up in that moment in the past, this perceived wrongdoing, and it was holding him back. So thank you to my Yoda Dennis of the pool for kind of giving me that little story to center things on and to kick us off for today. I want to talk about old stories, old resentments, things that are getting in our way of moving forward and being able to truly enjoy gratitude and thankfulness with an open heart. So there may be some old stories that you're carrying around. Maybe there's an old gripe that you have, an old grievance that you're still hanging on to, an old story of a wounding that someone did to you. And saying it out loud, one of the first steps of true forgiveness is being able to understand the story and the wounding and the hurt, and to be able to articulate it and to share it, and then let it go. Follow it with something that you truly have gratitude for. So it's a big ask I have for today. What is that old story? And maybe you don't want to share just the whole old story, but maybe you want to think it out and write it down. And then what is it opened up space for? What is something that you have gratitude for in your life that you want to really nurture? Those strong feelings. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I am Elizabeth Barrett, and our number is 805-781-3875. You can also find me on our Instagram page, Elizabeth_TRT, and our Facebook page, The Reluctant Therapist. And today's photo is a picture, yes, of a chicken sleeping on the back of a goat. You may wonder why is that the picture for today? Because I feel like it sums up this idea that we can either hold a grudge against someone and be at odds, or we can find comfort in each other and share space. So check out the photo on our Facebook page or Instagram. You can send me an email to Elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. And as always, you can listen to previous shows at kcbx.org or podcast our show to share them with friends. Once again, our number is 805-781-3875. You're listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. We'll be back to take your calls. Lord, will you forgive me? For forgetting, well, to say thank you, for the things that you do for me. Things are going so good, I get to feeling so fine. If it wasn't for your giving, nothing would be mine, my Lord. Will you forgive me for forgetting? Well, to be grateful for the blessings that you bestowed on me. Things are getting so good, I get ahead of my time. But if it wasn't for your giving, nothing would be mine. You're listening to A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. Our number is 805-781-3875. And we're talking about the pathway between forgiveness and gratitude in preparation for Thanksgiving. If that's a holiday tradition that you have, or maybe it's something you want to start, to go around the table and share what it is you're thankful for, have gratitude for in this moment or through the year, and how you want to express that. And the idea is that it's difficult to have true gratitude, to really be able to make space for those feelings of goodness and hope and joy when we're still harboring old stories. And today I'm making space to let go of an old story and to talk about something that you truly have gratitude for. 805-781-3875. David, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Yeah. Good. Good. Yeah, I have what I would call an old story, an even older story, and then the new story, or the new gratitude.
Okay.
So what do you suggest I start with?
I suggest that you start with the old story that you would like to tell and let go, and then share the new story of gratitude.
So what I'd like to let go of is anger and resentment towards my son's mom, mm-hmm. who kidnapped him in July. And, you know, leading up to that, created a violent household that ended up with him having to be taken out of the household in the first place and separated from her. And, you know, there's still ongoing legal issues related to that, criminal and juvenile dependency and family court-wise. But I'd like to let go of that, you know, anger and resentment I have towards her for you know, kind of blowing up the family and ultimately blowing up her relationship with our son.
That's a big forgiveness ask.
Yeah.
And what would that feel like?
I need to do that.
Yeah, I agree. And what would that feel like to let some of that go? What would that make space for?
Really being happy and grateful for having my son and being with him and the joy of watching him grow up and having a healthy future for him, mm-hmm. whether it involves his mother or not.
Mm-hmm. I hear a lot of emotion in your voice. And I hear a lot of
him.
Joy in the background.
Yeah, that's him.
And so I'm going to give you one kind of step towards the letting go piece. So if you can visualize for a moment while we're talking, unless you're driving, if you can visualize for a moment what that looks like to have your heart feel full and not pressed, and kind of breathe that sense of fullness for a moment, just kind of take that in. Visualize what that looks like when that joy fills your heart and moves the anger aside.
Right.
And then take an actual physical two steps forward, if you can. The two steps forward puts you in a new space, and then to say what you're grateful for in the new space.
Yeah, I'm grateful. I'm grateful that my son and I are able to be together and be, you know, we're alive and healthy and survived what we went through.
Absolutely. And David, now over the course of the next, it could take a few days, it just could take an hour, maybe it'll take 6 months. Every time you find yourself going into that space of anger and resentment, do the same process of stop, take a breath, picture yourself in the joy and the moving away from the anger, and then take physical steps forward, one or two or three steps into a new space, and then say the gratitude. And if you can catch yourself every time you get caught in that gripping of your belly and that gripping of your, you know, heart, taking a breath and then moving those steps forward, physically doing it, it'll keep kind of reminding your psyche that things have changed and you choose to live in the forward and not be stuck in the past.
Yeah. No, I like that.
Yeah, and it's a simple little practice. It shouldn't take a lot out of your day, but every time you start to grip in your belly and feel angry, but for, you know, even a few times a day when you feel it, to take a breath, remove it, and take a few steps forward and say your gratitude, you'll really start to feel the lift.
Great. No, I like that a lot. Thank you.
Thank you for starting us off. Thank you for starting me off today, and I wish you the best. Enjoy with your son.
Will do. Thank
Take
you.
Good care.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, David. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. Our number is 805-781-3875, and we're talking about finding a way to really feel gratitude by letting go of an old story, an anger, a resentment, a loss, a way that you feel that you may have been wronged, and to make space for something new. Part of forgiveness is actually acknowledging the hurt existed, because one of the ways that old stories get stuck and have a hard time moving through is we stop noticing that they're there. We stop acknowledging that the hurt happened, that we, you know, in our effort to say, I'm just going to move on from that. I'm not going to deal with that. I don't want to have bad feelings. But if we don't really acknowledge and move the hurt aside, it just becomes pushed down inside of us, waiting to come back up to the surface, either when we're faced with that person, or maybe we have another stressful experience that has nothing to do with the old hurt or anger, but that stressful experience brings up those old bad negative feelings, and the next thing we know, we're in conflict with another person, or we're, you know, expressing these feelings of rage or hurt or resentment or envy, and we don't even know where the force came from. And generally it's because we have unresolved issues that we haven't expressed or acknowledged and given voice to and moved aside. So that first step towards forgiveness is being able to articulate, what is it that I'm really feeling hurt or angry or disappointed about? What is it that I need to let go or move forward or away from? Because once we choose to leave the past away, we have to know what it is of our past we're putting aside, because we like to carry forward with us the good feelings. You know, we want to bring forward with us the feelings of joy or contentment or peace. And the challenge is, if we don't acknowledge the negative feelings, there is no space for good feelings. And so until we acknowledge old stories and deal with them and give them voice and then step away from them, it's very difficult to have good feelings. And that's quite often how people get stuck in the depressive episodes, because we don't allow ourselves to feel the negative, the hurt, the trauma, the disappointment. We box it away, and then it mutes our ability to feel the good feelings, the joy, the happiness, and then we find ourselves just stuck. So feeling the bad is the first step to moving towards the good. 805-781-3875 is our number. Hi, Lori. You're on the air. What's on your mind?
What do you do as a family member that have someone like that who can't let it go, and they're going over the old stories all the time? And what can you say to them or do to help them?
And are you, Lori, are you talking about asking for forgiveness and the person keeps bringing up old stories?
No, their old stories have nothing to do with, you know, any kind of past hurt that you've done. Mm-hmm. These are old stories having to do with, you know, things that have happened to him that, you know, that I have nothing to do with.
Right.
But they tend to just keep on hashing it over and over again, and you know, you can tell them, you know, time to move on, but the, you know, the anger and the hurt that they have just is overwhelming for them.
And this is one of the hardest parts of being a clinician and doing the work that I do, Lori, because unfortunately we can never change someone else's experience or reactions or responses, as much as we want to love them through this or be their support or help them to move on. Everyone is responsible for their journey, for their path at the end of the day. And so the bigger challenge is that those of us who love someone who's hurting, how do we change our own response or reaction or perception for them? How do we keep that from dragging us down? Or, you know what I'm saying? That sometimes we can get so...
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. So how do you... So the bigger... I think the other question is, how do you allow yourself to appreciate or feel joy and gratitude when someone you care for deeply is struggling?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So there's no simple answer to it, but part of it is being able to, and again, I'm giving lots of little exercises, but they're the only way I know to actually move energy through these things, is to be able to acknowledge, I love you. And whether you say it to the person or you just say it to yourself or you write it down, just to move this dialogue out of your head and say, I acknowledge that you're hurting and this pain is profound and that you feel stuck in this place. And I see that and I hurt for you, but I cannot fix it for you. And so I just want you to know that I see it, but I also have to feel for myself the joy and gratitude that is in my life. And that doesn't diminish my love for you. But if I'm not growing forward, then I'm going to be stuck and we'll never grow together. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And I wish I had a better answer. I wish there was a quick fix, because you sound, you know, I think when we love someone, we just want to be able to love them enough to feel better. And we can't. Sometimes the best gift we can give to someone who's hurting is to live our best life. And when they see us thriving and moving forward a bit, when they start to come back to themselves, they will reach to the level that you are at. We don't do anyone any favors by staying stuck where they are, but by modeling a forward movement.
Right.
Anything else? What else is on your mind?
No, that makes a lot of sense to me.
But I hear the hurt for you.
Yes. Been going on for a while. So I just hope that it turns around for him.
And who do you share your stories with?
Well, right now, sometimes him.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I've had a therapist for years. And you know, I call her up and she's really good.
Good.
She'll say, come on in.
And sometimes the best we can do is just keep sharing the story until the story doesn't hurt so much.
Oh, okay.
That's the other long road to healing. That's why talk therapy is talk therapy. We got to keep telling the story until the story stops being so powerful.
Yeah.
But the hard part is that you need to be able to take care of yourself so that when you keep hearing the story over and over, it doesn't also wound you.
Right.
So that's why it's so great that you have a therapist and you have people outside of the situation that you can find those good feelings, the resilience that you need to be able to hear stories that are hard to hear.
Yes.
But,
well, thank you.
And thank you for calling. I appreciate your courage, and I wish you the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lori. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is a conversation with a reluctant therapist, and I think we've tapped into something here today. Our number is 805-781-3875. We're talking about that space between forgiveness and gratitude and how challenging it is to really feel grateful for anything in our lives if we have that yeah, but voice. That yeah, but as soon as we start talking about, I'm grateful for my family, or I'm grateful for my health, or I'm grateful for the opportunities. But as soon as those words come out of your mouth, you hear that yeah, but voice. Yeah, but remember that time that I did this horrible thing, or remember that time this person hurt my feelings, or I know I want to trust them, but I don't know if I can. That yeah, but voice makes it really challenging to fully appreciate or experience the power of true gratitude and thankfulness to our soul and to our psyche, because there's a lot of science actually that supports active gratitude and speaking out loud those things that we feel good about in our lives. That science of what gratitude can bring to us is pretty powerful. But we have to be able to move aside the old stories, the grief, the anger, the resentment. And maybe they don't totally go away. You know, part of forgiveness is not that we completely forget. It's not that we condone old things, old wounds that happen. It just means that we acknowledge that it happened, but we choose to move forward. Because hanging on to old stories keeps us trapped in the past. It keeps us stuck in that space, even if we were done wrong too, even if it was a situation that just hurt us. The longer we hang on to the anger, resentment, or hurt over an old story, we're stuck in the past. And so for all the gratitude we have in the world, if we're living in the past, we can't appreciate the good in the now. So what's happening for you? Is there an old story you want to let go of? Or is there a gratitude that you feel deeply you want to share, to have witness for? Our number is 805-781-3875. You're listening to A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. And you're also listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. We'll be back in a moment to take your calls.
Thank you for hearing me. Thank you for hearing me. Thank you for hearing me.
That's Sinead O'Connor, and thank you for seeing me. I'd never heard that song before, Carol. It's just beautiful, isn't it? We're talking about forgiveness and gratitude, two sides of the same coin, maybe, that we have to be able to forgive and move forward from our past in order to step into the now and really appreciate with gratitude what we have. The Buddha said that hatred never ceases hatred, but by love alone, we are healed. So I want to walk you through the 9 steps towards forgiveness. And these 9 steps towards forgiveness are not necessarily done in order and don't have a set timeline. They can happen in different times. It might happen quickly at the beginning and then slow down. Forgiveness can be a quick process of just choosing to be done, hanging on to anger, or it can take a while to let things go. But I'm going to talk us through the 9 steps towards forgiveness and then making space for gratitude. Number one, the first step is to know exactly how you feel about what happened, to be able to articulate what it was about the situation that was not okay. And then be able to relate the story, whether to another person or a chosen few people, or to write it down. Because quite often when we feel resentment, anger, sadness, envy, it becomes kind of this muddled experience that just kind of lives inside of us and floats around free form and can feel sometimes bigger than it was or too difficult to parse out and move away from. So we have to know exactly what it is we're feeling about. What is the thing that we are focused on forgiving? Then step 2 is to make a commitment to yourself to feel better and have forgiveness for yourself. Because what we don't want to get caught up in is, why didn't I let this go years ago? Why did I hang on to this? Why? And then all of a sudden now you have forgiveness that you need to articulate for your own response. Because we may be able to let go of previous hurts by others, but sometimes the forgiveness we need to have primarily is for ourselves. And sometimes that can be much more difficult than forgiving others for wounding us. And in our stories of our life, quite often we'll get caught up in having someone hurt us or wound us, say something unkind or respond in a way that is painful. And instead of being able to recognize that this person is separate and what they've done, we choose how to respond to, we take it in. If someone says something cruel, quite often we'll own that and say, well, they must be right. I must feel that way about myself. Or it taps into something we already grapple with ourselves. And so now that self-forgiveness becomes a challenge. So we go back to number one. What is it that you really need to forgive? Is it some wrong that was done to you? Or do you need to forgive yourself for wallowing in this or getting stuck in this pattern or for being so hard on yourself? And then make a commitment that you're going to move forward, that you're going to feel better. And you might have to make that commitment multiple times a day, multiple times an hour, just at the beginning. The third step is to understand that you don't necessarily ever really have to reconcile with a person that you feel has wronged you or has done harm to you. You don't have to reconcile with them or condone their behavior to forgive the actions. If you're seeking the peace and understanding that comes with letting go of blame, with letting go of anger, and letting go of the hurt, sometimes you might find that if we take things less personally, if we depersonalize a situation and maybe push it back on the other person, they must have said that terrible thing because they feel badly about themselves, or they must have tried to hurt me or do something that was wrong because of issues or problems they have. It's not really about me as an individual. That's number three. Number four is to take, and this might be a little hard for some people, but it's, you have to be able to recognize in some ways that distress that we're feeling, that hurt feelings that we have, that in some ways we might also have responsibility in hurts from the past. That if we have conflict with others, if we have family members that we can't get along with, or we feel have wounded us, or we feel their actions are unforgivable, it's important to also be able to look through our own actions and our own responses and our own behaviors and to own our piece in that discord, and to be able to truthfully and honestly look at our part in how this disharmony, this problem started. And quite often that is really challenging, because when we've been hurt, it's hard to imagine that we had anything to do with it. The fifth step is when we recognize those moments of distress coming up, as I mentioned to David earlier in the program, that when we start to feel that tension in our belly, that gripping of our hands, that anger coming back up, that resentment, to be able to take a breath or two and start calming ourselves down. Because if we just allow those feelings to come up, what we're responding to are our feelings in the moment. We're not really responding to feelings from whenever the incident happened a year ago, 5 years ago, or a month ago. You know, those feelings are gone. Our psyche, our mind, our body has moved past those feelings. But in the moment that we start to replay that hurt inside of us, we start a whole new round of emotions and feelings and thoughts. So in that moment, we can choose to calm those responses, to calm those feelings, and to take steps towards moving forward. The next step towards forgiveness is also a challenge. I think they all are. I think forgiveness is a challenge overall. It's hard for us to be fully forgiving humans because we're human. But number six is giving up or expecting things from your life or from other people that they do not choose to give you. Should I say that one again? Okay. The sixth step towards forgiveness, and I think this is the biggest of all nine steps, is to give up on expecting things from your life or from other people that they do not choose to give you. Again, what I mentioned to David is that we, or to Lori, our second caller, we can't control or change the behaviors of others. No matter how much we want to or wish for it or love them or nag at them or beseech someone, we cannot change the behaviors or perceptions or attitudes or feelings of another person. And so we can wish all we want. We can hope for love and friendship and prosperity and good health. We can work towards them all we want. But if we get too caught up in believing that they have to happen, that we must have them, that it is unacceptable if we do not achieve these things, then we are going to suffer if that which we most want is not given to us because the person is not capable of or does not choose to give it to us. So sit with that one. Because hoping and wishing and striving are wonderful things. But when we are hoping and striving and wishing for something from another person, and they do not choose to give it to us for whatever reason that is. Maybe they don't even recognize that they're incapable of giving it to us. Maybe they feel they're giving us everything they can, but we still expect something more. When we are expecting something of another that they choose or cannot give to us, we will suffer. We will suffer. And so we have to be able to recognize that we can put energy into getting our goals met. But we have to look for other ways to get those positive feelings in our lives. Number eight, and this one takes a 180 turn from the last one. Number eight is, a life well lived is your best revenge. Instead of focusing on wounded feelings, and hurt feelings and anger, which ultimately just gives your power over to the person who hurt you, who you're angry at, notice the love and beauty and kindness that's just around you right now. That just refuse to keep giving your power away. Because you can throw all the anger in the world out at another person, and if they're not hearing it or responding it or feeling it, you're the one that's in prison. You're the ones that's trapped. They're just going about their life. So focus on living your best life and not expecting them to come to you begging for forgiveness or apology. And then finally, number nine is to put more energy into appreciating what you have rather than attending to what you do not have. And that is gratitude. So we have to clear space by doing those first eight steps and then put the energy into appreciating what we have. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. You're listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. And Carol, I have a clip from Dr. Robert Emmons, who's a psychology professor at UC Davis. And he gave a small talk about gratitude and the benefits of gratitude, the science behind the benefits of having gratitude. And I think this is a good time to listen to that.
Important reasons why gratitude works, why it matters, and there's just four of these on the screen. Number one, it allows us to celebrate the present, a magnification of positive emotions. We know from research by emotion scientists that positive emotions wear off quickly. Our emotional systems like newness. They like novelty. They like change. And we adapt to positive life circumstances so that the new car, the new spouse, the new house, the new whatever is not so new after a short period of time. We adapt to it. Well, with gratitude involves the appreciation of the value of something. And so when we appreciate the value of it, we're less likely to depreciate the value, which is to lose value. Therefore, we extract more benefits. I think it allows us to participate more in life. You just notice the positives more, and that magnifies your experience, your pleasure that you get. So it magnifies the goodness, and then can delay the adaptation that can occur to positive life events. It allows us to participate, to celebrate. You know, we spend a lot of time spectating, watching things, watching movies, watching speakers, while looking at our computer screens, watching athletic events, and so on. With gratitude, we become more participators as opposed to spectators. Number two, gratitude blocks negative emotions, toxic emotions, which can destroy our happiness, subjective well-being, optimal functioning, particularly in the domain of envy, resentment, regret, even depression. There's new evidence coming out showing that gratitude is effective in the prevention, reduces the episodes of depression, reduces their duration, and makes future episodes less likely. You cannot be envious and grateful at the same time. Try it. You can't. They're incompatible feelings. You can't resent someone for having something that they have that you don't if you are grateful. Those are very different ways of being in the world. And to the degree to which one's gratitude coefficient is very high, one's resentment, envy is going to be much lower. And in fact, there's evidence for this. Grateful people are more stress resilient. There's been a number of studies showing that in the face of serious life situations, trauma, adversity, suffering, if people are dispositionally grateful, they recover faster. They're less bothered by some of the negative emotional symptoms, post-traumatic stress disorder, anxiety symptoms in the aftermath of trauma if they are previously grateful individuals. So it gives people perspective by which I think they can interpret life events, and that's why it's beneficial. And then the fourth, in terms of strengthening social ties, I alluded to that earlier, a sense of self-worth. That when you are grateful, that's information that someone else is looking out for you. Someone else has provided for your well-being. Or you notice a network of relationships, past and present, of people who are responsible for helping you get to where you are right now. You may not have thought about these people before. You may have taken them for granted. Once you start to recognize the contributions that they've made, either intentionally or unintentionally, you start to feel much better about your position in life. And so those are four, I think, reasonable reasons why gratitude is beneficial, why gratitude is good.
And that's Dr. Robert Emmons from UC Davis School of Psychology talking about the power of gratitude. And I thought all the points were fabulous, but I thought a couple of them worth kind of focusing on. The first one was this idea that we tend to do more spectating in life than participating in life, and that can get us kind of stuck because comparison is the thief of joy. If we're scrolling through our Instagram or Facebook or any kind of social media or just watching television shows or watching reality TV, that it puts us in this place of just kind of watching life happen. And when we're just watching life happen, it can quietly, without us actually recognizing, develop in us the sense of feeling less than, or feeling left out, or feeling envious, or feeling like we're not trying hard enough. And you might not even recognize that those feelings are building up in you because you're so passive in the process of just spectating. Think of all the things you do at the same time while you're spectating on your TV screen. You might also be texting, you know, also be on your computer, that then we've completely kind of shut our mind off from our body, that the two things are no longer coexisting. And so gratitude brings us back into our body. It gets us re-participating, re-engaging in the process of being alive and being grounded and being focused and feeling that there's an incredible sense of feeling when we have gratitude for the capacity just to feel or to enjoy something or to notice in the moment when you're holding your partner's hand and to say to yourself, I'm holding my partner's hand. This feels good. And if you'll recall, we talked about this a bit a few weeks ago when it came to hugging and the intentionality of when we hug someone, before we hug them, to say to ourselves or to say out loud, I hug you because this feels good. I love you and I express that love and this is good for us both. Then you get the benefits of not only that physical touch, but also for our psyche feeling that extra connection, that intentionality. So with gratitude, when we stop and we say out loud things we are grateful for, we are now participating actively in our lives and not just sitting back and watching life stream by us. And then the other piece that he talked about that I felt really connects with where we are this week is the part about gratitude strengthening our social ties and feelings of self-worth. It goes back to that tradition my family has of going around the table and everyone talking about that, what they're thankful for or grateful for, that you, in this moment of the 20 people the closest to you in our family are listening to what it is that you're saying or sharing, you're recognizing, oh, these people are a part of my existence, whether they're annoying to me at times or downright maddening at times. But at the end of the day, we've got each other. And part of who I am today is tied into who these people are and that they have my back. We have a list of family rules that we all live by in our family. The first one is always bring a bathing suit, which is just kind of part of the family law. The second one is take small bites because it's polite and you won't choke. But the third one is represent the family and don't be lame. And those four rules, family rules, are kind of part of who we identify as a group. And when we're each standing up and talking about that which we're grateful for, you recognize that you're not just alone, but the rest of these people have at least a similar experience of being on the planet, and that they ultimately have your back. And so to speak your gratitude out loud and to recognize that these are the people that help you be who you are makes that gratitude all the deeper. Our number is 781-3875, 805-781-3875. Chris, you're on the air.
I wanted to share a gratitude.
Okay, please do.
I have been working in the same place for a long time, and there's been some times where it wasn't that great, but I'm just really thankful that I hung in there and stuck with some people that I knew, you know, were good and had good intent. And it's really paid off. It's at this point in my work environment, I'm having a good time. I feel like I'm making a difference. So I'm grateful for the people I'm around and the fact that I had the fortitude to stick around, and my wife helped me with, my wife is always behind me on that.
Well, and it's nice that you got kind of a twofer for the experience, because you have gratitude for these people that you now have spent a long time sharing your life with. And we don't quite often look at our workers as being kind of primary to our well-being, but it sounds like they've turned out to be good humans, and that you recognize in yourself that you had this capacity to notice good intent in other people and to stick by them even when things are a struggle.
True.
So it's a benefit in both directions that you can acknowledge and kind of feel good about.
Yeah, I didn't look at it that way. That's interesting. I'll take it.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate you kind of with the gratitude, and I hope you share it with your workers when you get back after the holiday.
Okay, I will.
Thanks for calling in. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. So, Carol, you've been listening to me for the last 50 minutes or so talk about these steps towards gratitude, and I'm wondering if it's inspired a gratitude in yourself, or if there's something you need to let go of to make space for true gratitude.
I've always got things I could let go of.
I think we all feel that. Yes.
I am grateful for living here. I think that's one of the things that I'm always grateful for. And whenever I sit down, I have a good group of friends. We sit down over good food every week, actually. We do it every Friday night. And we say that. We go, how lucky are we, you know, to live here?
Mm-hmm. And to say it out loud and to sit with
yes.
that feeling, because it fills you.
We do. And we've been through heartbreak together. We've been through cancer together. We've all been through, financial problems. Mm-hmm. But we still come back every Friday and we say how grateful we are to have fresh, good food, good wine, and each other.
And it is such a beautiful thing to be able to recognize the goodness even in the face of heartache or heartbreak. Because that was another one of the points that Dr. Emmons brought up, was that grateful people are more stress resilient, that they're able to come back more quickly from difficult times because they inherently have gratitude for things in their life.
I think that's true. It gives you that kind of an inner strength.
There's a great practice around that. And, you know, resilience is a whole another science in itself. We tend to look and feel that other people are more resilient, or maybe we know that we're resilient people ourselves. But my experience is that more people would say, I could never handle that, or I could never make it through that experience, or I don't know how anyone could live through it.
Yeah, until you do.
Until you do. And I think most people would be really surprised at the reserves of resilience we are capable of. And I don't know if a lot of parents understand that part of our work raising children is to help them develop the skills of resilience. That for some people, it is naturally there. You see those little, you know, tough people that you can tell they're going to bounce back always. Yeah. But for a lot of us, we need to train those skills. And so a great lesson for around the Thanksgiving table is to talk about resilience and what that looks like, that capacity to bounce back after we've had our feelings hurt or we've had a disappointment or we've lost something, and what that looks like to be able to accept it and then recognize that it happened and then move forward. And people who have good resilient skills are those with a good sense of humor.
Yes.
Those that are able to find awe in life, you know, those feelings of awe being small and insignificant in the face of like driving into Yosemite Valley or, you know, seeing a sunset, that feeling of awe. So people
or
are
even a good cup of coffee.
Yes. People you who know? can tap into to awe tend to have a good ability for resilience. Those that have an easy time not addressing conflict, but being able to have bad feelings or hard feelings with someone and then to let them go. People who are resilient are those that are willing to face disappointment and realize that there is, you know, opportunity on the other side. And those who are resilient are people who are willing to cry. And so developing the capacity for some of those things. And I love that a sense of humor is usually the first thing in how you identify someone's resilience, because I think we all would maybe put a sense of humor on a scale because we might be humorous to one person's idea of what is funny and not to someone else's. So part of our journey in life is to find out who our people are, who get our sense of humor. And when we support ourselves with those people, then we will tend to have a better support system when we need to be resilient.
That is so true. I think I'm going to be listening to this show on demand.
Yes, pass it on.
Every year.
Well, we'll make it a going thing. But to wrap things up today, I just want to encourage everyone to think about some old stories that you may be carrying around. Notice if you're living in the past on something. When you get to be around your family, if the first thought you have as you look around the table is some annoyance you have with every person or some reminder of how someone has hurt your feelings around the room, if you're doing that, then I encourage you to take a moment to say, that story's old. Today is a new day. And I choose to look at this person through fresh eyes. I choose to approach my family with a different perspective. And that will at least give you a good starting ground for the holiday season. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this has been A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. You can listen to this show and previous shows at kcbx.org. Send me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com or follow us on Instagram, Elizabeth_TRT, and our Facebook, A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I wish you all well. I look forward to continuing our conversation, and thank you for supporting Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX.